Welcome to Mastering Nursing, the podcast where we explore nursing careers and excelling as a nurse. Whether you're a student, a novice nurse, or a seasoned professional, if you want to explore and grow as a nurse while learning how to better serve patients or advance your nursing career, you're in the right place. Now here's your host, Keith Carlson, popularly known as Nurse Keith.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Keith Carlson, also known as Nurse Keith, out on the interwebs, and I am here with you on Mastering Nursing. I am so excited to be here with you as your host, and we are going to be digging deep into healthcare, nursing, and all things related to your career and your professional and your personal satisfaction. Some of you may know who I am, some of you may not, but I'll just tell you that I am a holistic career coach for nurses. I work with nurses all over the United States, and I talk with nurses all over the world. And my podcast, The Nurse Keith Show, actually reaches an audience on 6 continents because there are nurses all over the world who want to hear the message about how to live a better life, a healthier life, and to have a more satisfying career. I am, of course, a podcaster. I'm also a nurse writer and author, motivational and keynote speaker, and I write freelance for a variety of nursing websites and have been published in a variety of nursing books. So I am out there. I am all about nursing. You can find me on social media at nursekeith.com, at The Nurse Keith Show, and now on Mastering Nursing. And I am so psyched to be here with you all for this incredible journey. And I am even more super psyched and excited because my dear friend and colleague, Renee Thompson, DNP, RN, CM, SRN, is here as our guest on the very first episode of Mastering Nursing. Renee is an international speaker, author, and consultant, and she tackles the professional challenges facing healthcare leaders today with 27 years as a clinical nurse, nurse educator, quality manager, and nurse executive. Dr. Thompson is an expert on workplace bullying, and she spends the majority of her time working with healthcare organizations that want to eliminate bullying and incivility. She's the CEO of RT Connections and the founder of the Healthy Workforce Institute, which we're going to be talking all about today. She has been repeatedly published, interviewed, and awarded for her work to educate, connect, and inspire current and future nurses in healthcare. She's the author of several books that are right here on my bookshelf as I speak, and she is very much in demand as a keynote speaker. Renee Thompson, my dear friend and colleague, welcome to Mastering Nursing.
Wow. Thank you, Keith. I am thrilled to be here. It's really an honor, especially to be a guest in your first episode on Mastering Nursing. So super excited to have an opportunity to talk to you, as always, but to talk to your audience of nurses from all over the world, I'm assuming, about my favorite topic, bad behavior. So thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's such a pleasure, Renee. Your favorite topic is bad behavior. I tell people that you're probably the national and maybe one of the worldwide experts on bullying in nursing and healthcare. And why does this exist? Why is bullying and other types of aberrant or negative behaviors, why are they so pervasive in the healthcare space?
Yeah, there are a couple of reasons why, and I'll just highlight the most common reasons. Well, first of all, healthcare is a stressful environment. I mean, think about it. You know, I've been a nurse for a long time, and it's the unpredictability of your patients. You never know what you're going to get when you walk in the door. Your stable patient all of a sudden becomes, you know, a patient in crisis. It's life, it's death. Every day we step into the work environment and we haven't learned really good coping mechanisms. And a lot of times, what do? We lash out at each other. That's one of the reasons that we see more disruptive behaviors in the healthcare setting. But also, if you take a look at who works in healthcare, especially in the nursing world, yeah, we are a female-dominated profession. 90% of all nurses are women. And let's face it, Keith, women just aren't that nice to each other. And we could probably have a 2-hour conversation about that, because I always say that not all women are like that. I know I'm not. But if you look at the bell curve, there are a lot of women who are squashing other women. And we see this displayed in this sort of bullying and incivility female to female in the healthcare setting. But I will tell you, one of the main reasons why it's happening is because we just accept it as the norm. Well, that's just the way it is in healthcare, you know, especially in nursing. And I'm sure you've heard this, Keith, nurses eat their young. Well, now we eat our young, we eat our old, we eat everything in between. And we've normalized these behaviors for so long that we become so numb to them and we fail to recognize them as inappropriate, unprofessional, and should never exist in healthcare. So that's just a few of the reasons.
Those are tough reasons to hear, but I know them, but it's always hard to hear them again because it reinforces what I already know. However, you hit on something here that we're numb to it. Like it happens all the time. It's just what we do. You know, we're going to haze the new young nurses, or the young nurses are going to give a hard time to the older nurses who are slower with technology or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I also get, and I think this is where we need to head with our conversation sooner than later, is that organizations are numb to it too. And that is, to me, a recipe for disaster.
Oh my gosh, yes. There was an article that I read that basically said there are only 8% of all healthcare leaders, so at the executive level, who have identified bullying and incivility as a top priority, but 90% of them said it was a problem. Keith, I cannot tell you how many times I'll go into an organization. Maybe I'm brought in by a nurse manager, maybe a director, and here's what I find from some of the other leaders. Oh, we don't have a problem here. You know, it's kind of like, these are not the droids you're looking for. There's nothing wrong here. And then when I get down into the organization, people have referred to it as I rip off the Band-Aid to really show them that, oh, no, you have a wound here. And then all of a sudden, people start saying, oh, well, yes, that is happening here. And, oh, this is not okay. So I think it's also because we have so many competing priorities as leaders in organizations that it's just one more thing on our list. And we deny that there's a problem, and we've been using silence as a strategy for a long time. But you're right. They failed to recognize and then take action against it.
Right. And at the same time, Renee, you and I both know that I think it's about 30% of new nurses leave the nursing workforce within the first year of their employment after licensure. And another percentage leave within the first 3 to 5 years. So whatever the actual number is, we know that new nurses leave the profession sooner than we would like them to. We want them to have a long, healthy, happy career, right? So if there's nursing shortages, if we have high levels of attrition, if we have high numbers of, let's say, baby boomer nurses who are now beginning to retire in massive numbers because the economy has improved since 2008 overall, we have all of these factors leading us to what many of us would characterize as a crisis in healthcare delivery, especially in the United States. But I think this pertains to many other countries as well, in the developed world at least. So this leads us to the point of, how could we ignore the Band-Aid and not want it torn off? Because we need to get at that festering wound, because this is one of the wounds that's draining our best talent from right next to us where we want those good nurses to be. How is that that we let it keep going?
Yeah, absolutely. I always say that we are hemorrhaging really great nurses to this problem. And if your nurses do not feel supported, they do not feel that they have the sense of belonging, that the other nurses who they work with have their back, they will leave you, especially this young generation. Oh, they will not put up with it and they will be out of there. Because a lot of organizations will have me come in and then I'll take a look at, I'll always ask them, what's your retention? What unit has the highest turnover? And chances are, if there's high turnover in a department, in a unit, it's because there's a behavioral issue that has gone unaddressed for a long time. Here's what the problem is, Keith. A lot of the people who are behaving in a disruptive manner, whether you want to call it bullying, incivility, a lot of them are your most competent nurses. Think about it from the leader's perspective. I'm a leader in a critical care unit, and I know I have this nurse who is, for lack of a better way of saying it, toxic, that the new nurses are scared to death of her. They're warned about this nurse, but she's my most clinically competent nurse. So what do? I justify, I rationalize, I have, you know, my staff, they do workarounds. It's really hard for a lot of leaders to actually stand up to that toxic nurse and say, you know what, you may be clinically excellent, but the way you treat people is not okay. And we're going to have a conversation about that. And really the problem is we're not teaching leaders how to have those conversations. So in turn, we're losing really great newer nurses and some of the older nurses. They've just had enough. And I don't understand how organizations can overlook that when retention is such a big priority right now. It's a huge topic for the reasons you just talked about. We're going to need so many more nurses in the next 10 years that if we don't fix this problem, we are never going to meet the needs of our public. And you and I both know, Keith, who's the public? We are the public.
Oh, right.
So who's going to care for us? Yeah.
Wait, I might end up in the hospital someday? Really?
Yes, it could happen.
It could happen. So, you know, this seems like such an abdication of responsibility for the leaders to say, you know, this nurse, she's been here too long. She knows too much. She has the institutional knowledge. She's really clinically competent. I'm going to let her run roughshod over all of my young nurses because you know what? That's what it was like when I graduated too. So they just have to fend for themselves. And then we turn around, we see our HCAHPS scores plummeting. Our Medicare reimbursements might be going down. We're losing nurses. We're spending so much money training and training new nurses over and over and over again. We're wasting huge amounts of resources. And then we wonder why healthcare is expensive. Don't get me started about all of the ways that these all play into the costs that get handed down to consumers and also the quality that does or doesn't happen when a consumer steps through those doors. And this is where I want to turn slightly towards your new Healthy Workforce Institute, because you've been out there as Renee Thompson, as this one person doing your thing, consulting, speaking, cajoling, you know, trying to get anyone out there who would listen. You've been rattling the cage for years trying to say, look, I'm preaching the gospel of getting rid of bullying. This is really important. You need to listen. Mm-hmm. So now you form the Healthy Workforce Institute. And I am naively asking you about this because you and I have not had time to actually really talk about it. So can you explain to us the purpose, the mission, the values, the goals of the Healthy Workforce Institute?
Sure. You know, it's interesting. I started my career just wanting to be a keynote speaker. I wanted to get on stage and I wanted to do my thing. And I would do these 60 or 90 minute talks on, you know, bullying, and people wanted more. And so I thought, okay, I'll turn it into a 4-hour workshop, and they wanted more. Okay, I'll do a full day seminar, more. I'll do a 2-day seminar, more. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing consulting. And the consulting was where I really found that I could get into that organization and, you know, pull back the cover, lift up the gown, get in there, find out what was going on, and really help these organizations transform their organization and shift the culture from a bullying and incivility one to one where there's professionalism and the people there, not just the nurses, everyone feels that they're supported, that they're nurtured, that they feel valued independent of the role that they play. And what was happening, Keith, is I was getting inundated with requests for help from organizations, mostly in this country, but quite honestly, I couldn't keep up. Last year, I had 145 flights and I slept way more nights in hotel rooms than my own home. And I thought, how can I help more people? Because I'm helping the organizations that I'm working with. And so I thought, I can't be Renee Thompson, the personality business. I have to become an institute. And becoming an institute enables me to bring in other amazing experts who can help me address some of the complementary topics and issues that are affecting healthcare. For example, I am the master of, you know, set behavioral expectations, hold people accountable with my scripting, with my workshops, with my consulting, with the initiatives that I have, you know, the Healthy Workforce best practices. I own it. But there's more that's needed. So, for example, I just brought somebody on board who's an expert in workplace violence. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you received the Sentinel alert from the Joint Commission that basically said there's workplace violence, and that's physical violence, verbal violence. There's a lot packaged into that workplace violence title. So I brought somebody in to help me to help organizations focus on the violence piece. I'm also bringing somebody onto my team who's an expert in conflict resolution. Again, a complementary topic. Somebody who has expertise in emotional intelligence. Coaches who can actually help my leaders who I'm doing consulting with, you know, with the skills that they need, the essential skills that they need to be able to cultivate a professional work environment and address disruptive behaviors. Like, they need to show up as leaders in a way that, you know, commands, like, we don't play that here. Oh, no, we're not going to play that game here. And so, you know, I can't be an institute with just me, but having the institute enables me to reach more organizations than I could have just by doing this myself. I've also launched a Healthy Workforce Academy with online programming, which is really a blended learning. So there's modules, there's audio, video, but there's also live Q&A calls. And we do a little bit of education and training on those live calls. They get coaching with me. And so it's not just, here's a couple of videos, watch them, and now check a checkbox. No, this is ongoing interaction with me. So all of this is really, you know, my purpose, my mission, if you really want to look at what I'm trying to accomplish with this institute, is to help the millions of nurses and healthcare employees all over the country and all over the world to be able to come into work, work with a cohesive team, deliver the very best patient care, and feel really good about the work that they're doing and feel that they can trust the people who they're working with. I want them to come up and show up. Like I always say, the way we treat each other is just as important as the care that we provide. And when you're disrespectful to someone, or you scream and yell at someone or criticize them in front of people, that affects the patient. And I always say that affects my mother. If my mother was a patient in your department, the way you treat each other affects my mom. And that's not okay. And it's somebody's mom. It's somebody's dad, daughter. And that's what I'm trying to do. You create that environment where we all show up ready for practice, ready to do our part to make sure these patients receive our very best. Can't do that if you're ignoring your bullying problem.
That's so true, Renee. And I'm so inspired by what you're sharing with me. And I'm hearing a lot of this for the first time because you and I haven't really gone over a lot about this new launch of yours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it sounds like you're going to be training, educating, inspiring, motivating, consulting. So you could be on some levels a one-stop shop for an organization that wants its managers and its leaders trained. It wants a consultant to come in and review their onboarding practices and to look at how people are being treated in the workplace, to conduct surveys, to do interviews, exit and entrance interviews, all of these services that you can provide to an organization that really wants to take it to the next level and really make a commitment, right?
That's it. That's my goal, is to be the go-to organization when a healthcare organization recognizes that they may have an issue. But I always say, you may know that you have an issue, but you have to understand what that issue is before you can solve that issue. And that's what I do, because we have assessments. You know, I do consulting. I have initiatives that focus specifically on how do you empower your employees to be part of the solution. It's not just the boss's job. So yeah, we want to be the mecca organization that people go to. And if you're a magnet organization, they've actually included now in their requirements that you have to address workplace bullying and incivility and workplace violence. And now with the Joint Commission saying that this is not okay, healthcare organizations are responsible. But here's what I find, bottom line, Keith, a lot of organizations, they know they have a problem. They have no idea where to begin. They have no idea where to start. And that's where I come in, is I help them. I do an assessment and I'm like, oh, you're going to start right here. Point A, we're going to start with this.
Right.
Okay.
And I will hold your hand through this process. Now,
you got it.
You mentioned an organization wanting this. So I want to ask you two related questions. One, if an organization feels like, we think Renee and her team have what we need to be able to address this issue, what do they do? Do they call you? Do they email you? Do they go to ReneeThompsonSpeaks.com? Where do they go to get more information?
Yeah, all of that, including sending me smoke signals.
Okay.
The best thing for them to do is to either email me, it's Renee@RTConnections.com, or they can go to my website and contact me. And actually, Keith, I have a new website. It is HealthyWorkforceInstitute.com. And
wow.
There's a, there's a contact page. They can contact me through there. They can call me too. I mean, my phone number is on my website. You can just give me a call. And that's what I find a lot of people, they reach out and they say, I'm interested. And I always say, well, let's hop on a call. Let's talk about where you are. And I actually have assessments right now that usually before I hop on a call with someone, I'll send them a link to an assessment that helps them to evaluate what their strengths are as far as their organization, their department, and where are some of the gaps. And then we explore those gaps. And then based on where they are, then I make recommendations on what we can do together, anywhere from let's just do one of my mini online courses all the way through to major year on the ground consulting. It depends on what their needs are.
Great. The website looks great, healthyworkforceinstitute.com. I'm actually seeing it for the first time.
Ah.
And can they still go to ReneeThompsonSpeaks.com if they want to book you as a speaker specifically?
If they go to ReneeThompsonSpeaks.com, it gets redirected to Healthy Workforce Institute. So even the old RTConnections.com website, because you know my parent company is RT Connections.
Uh-huh.
Even if they go to that website, everything redirects to Healthy Workforce Institute.
That's great. I'm going to be sending everyone there now. So I see that on the website, there's a place to click if you're a nurse, there's a place if you're a nurse leader, and there's a place if you're an executive. So if I am a nurse and I'm aware that I am in a very, very unhealthy workplace, but I'm not quite ready to leave, I would actually like to maybe foment a little change, maybe manifest a little like improvement in my workplace. Can a nurse, him or herself, reach out to you, or do they have to have their organization reach out to you?
Any human being on this earth can reach out to me.
Okay.
I get emails and nurses message me all the time saying I'm in a situation, you know, can you help?
Mm-hmm.
And usually what I do first, because obviously I'm extremely busy and don't always have the time to hop on a call with everybody who reaches out to me, but I usually send them an article or I send them to an online resource that I have and I'll say, go ahead and watch this or read this and then let me know and then we'll talk. And then I'll try to give them some additional specific strategies. And sometimes I've had some nurses say this is such a huge problem and they reach out to their manager and the manager then facilitates me coming there.
Wonderful.
And doing a workshop. So anybody can reach out to me, even a nursing assistant, a housekeeper, it doesn't matter to me. As a human being, if you're in a situation and you need help, yeah, reach out. I'll do what I can to help you.
That's great. Well, that's where I'm going to be sending people. And there will be lots of links in the show notes and a beautiful headshot of Renee and her bio. If you want to share that with anyone, if you're listening to the show and you would like to share this episode, it'll all be there for you. And Renee, I just want to say, as your friend, your colleague, as someone who looks up to you and someone who sees the passion that you bring to your work, and you're not doing this for the sexy outfits and the great hours. I mean, you're doing this because you're a nurse and you see that this is a problem and you have a very viable solution for a major problem in healthcare. And I can see your passion. I know it personally. And I can say that you are already affecting change in the world. And this is just going to take it to the next level. And I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you, Keith. That definitely warms my heart. This is my purpose. I'm meant to do this. I wake up every morning thinking, how do I help more? How do I serve more? What can I do to make it better there and make it easier for organizations to hold people accountable and, you know, so that we can keep the really good nurses in practice where they belong.
That's right. Well, Renee, thanks for helping our profession. Thanks for being my friend. Thanks for being an awesome human, as you always say. And thank you for gracing the airwaves with your presence on episode number one of Mastering Nursing.
Well, thank you for having me, Keith. It's truly been an honor.
Thanks, darling. Take care now.
You too.
Bye. All right. So that concludes our guest interview for this week, folks. You know, we're passionate about nursing here on the show, and there's a lot of fantastic organizations out there bringing nurses together and helping them succeed in the field. With that in mind, we created a segment where each week we recognize a nursing organization doing great work. We find these organizations through listener nominations, that's you, and our own research. So here's our producer, Scott Hawksworth, to tell you about this week's Nursing Organization of the Week.
Thanks for the introduction, Keith. I am so excited about hosting this segment because there are so many fantastic nursing organizations out there doing great work. And remember, if you have any suggestions for a nursing organization that you think deserves recognition, send an email to masteringnursingpodcast@gmail.com and let me know all about it. So with that said, it's time to award our first ever Nursing Organization of the Week. And this week, we are thrilled to recognize the California Nurses Association. Founded in 1903, the California Nurses Association /National Nurses Organizing Committee /AFL-CIO is a premier organization of registered nurses and one of the nation's fastest growing labor and professional organizations in the U.S., with more than 100,000 members in hospitals, clinics, and home health agencies in all 50 states. In the past 15 years, CNA/NNOC has grown by nearly 400%. The California Nurses Association is also a founding member of the 150,000-member National Nurses United, which in 2009 united with the CNA/NNOC, the United American Nurses, and the Massachusetts Nurses Association to create the largest union and professional association of nurses in U.S. history. Their goals are simple and so important. They fight for patients, work on improving healthcare, and work to make a difference for nurses and other caregivers in their home state of California. They accomplish these goals by sponsoring laws and establishing some of the best collective bargaining contracts in the nation to help not only nurses, but also the patients they treat. If you visit their site, you can learn about legislation affecting nurses, their election endorsements, job opportunities, and so much more. National Nurses United is a huge organization, so you'll find many great resources on the site. To learn more about the California Nurses Association specifically, visit nationalnursesunited.org/California-Nurses-Association. Congratulations to them and keep up the great work. And that's your first ever Nursing Organization of the Week.
Thank you, Scott, and a huge thank you to you, our listeners. And if you have a chance, please subscribe and consider giving us a rating and review over on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. It really helps us grow the show and motivates us to keep delivering great content to you week after week. This is Nurse Keith, and I encourage you to stay tuned for the next episode of Mastering Nursing.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Mastering Nursing. If you'd like to learn more about degrees and careers in nursing, visit nursingdegreedatabase.com. There you can browse our extensive list of accredited nursing degree programs, in-depth guides, and more.